All right, guys, what's up? It's Jeremy Till here. I got Jem Hensel with Mayhem Mindset with me today. I'm very excited about this just because Jem is really in the throes of helping individuals from entrepreneurs to business leaders, working with the Mayhem team, Rich Froning, on a daily basis. And Jem overall is just a hell of a guy. Somebody you want to be following because he's leading and doing something in the forefront of what's happening in society as a whole. So with that being said, Jem, thanks for jumping on the podcast and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you got going.
Jeremy, thanks for having me. I love talking to you, which is cool. So you and I have been able to have some extremely meaningful conversations since, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, getting to know you. So I'm really excited to support whatever you're doing. And, you know, for me, everything is about seeing through the lens of my core values. This is not going to be a motivational speech. I'm not a motivational guy. I'm not down with really any of that. I'm not a slogan guy. Everything that I'm doing is to really encourage somebody to take a break, to stop right where you're at. And before you think about what you want to do next in life, before you think about the next transition, whatever the next job or task is, stop, put the brakes on for a second, and make sure you're really clear about your personal identity and then this idea of your core values. It's just true. Every mature person that I know is trying to make their biggest choices and decisions based on their strongest beliefs. We're all doing it, whether we understand it or realize it. So my personal mission in life and the goal of Mayhem Mindset is to really give somebody a tool or an opportunity or process to really define themselves. That's what we're about.
Absolutely. And so I've had the pleasure of going through the Mayhem Mindset course and really detailing out, you know, my core values, who I am, what I stand for, and also identifying weaknesses. And I think that's a unique aspect of organized, planned, and detail that shift and change me. And one of the big weeks, I think is week 6 or 7, is where I had that breakdown to rebuild. And I realized that in the last, you know, 5 years of all the turmoil and family and kids and business, that I just had the talent of winging it and just shooting from the hip, and I got away with it to my own demise. And realizing through the course, identifying that my weakness was being planned, detailed, and organized, so I could, you know, show up with a well-conceived plan to be prepared to set myself up and the people around me as a leader for success. That was a big spot in,
a blind spot.
There you go. My blind spot that I was getting away with, that once I had stepped back, it really restructured the way that I made decisions and how I could say yes or no to opportunities. And I had to really weigh, could I show up with my best self, with my best skills to serve the people and lead the people, versus just jumping on and using my, you know, charismatic, positive attitude to jump in there and wow people, but not really having what it takes foundationally to support them for the long haul. And I think that was, you know, that was back in the fall, really what has prepared me for where we are today in a pandemic. And so just throwing it back to you, one thing that was really powerful through the course was the real understanding of identity in our lives and in who we are to ourselves, and how that inward projection is projecting outwards. And those are my words, but just to talk about identity with the Mayhem Mindset.
Yeah, I love what you just described. And one of the huge takeaways for you in the course was what you just described. I think identity and purpose, like the way that a lot of people come at it in the culture that we live in today, it's really kind of like they're searching for purpose, or they're trying to discover it. And maybe purpose or identity is under a a rainbow in a big pot somewhere, you know, and if we search hard enough for it, we find it. And I don't believe that at all. I believe that identity and purpose is in our design, and identity and purpose is defined. It's not discovered, it's defined. And so Mayhem Mindset's unique in that we don't tell anybody what to do or what to believe at all, not one time. It's really just, there's this process for you to really understand that for yourself. And if you do that work and you jump the hurdles and you face the challenges, you arrive at some of that understanding, or you create some of that understanding. And it was really cool to be able to see, and I know this is not grammatically correct, but in the game, Mayhem Mindset game, we say who you be. Be is your values, talents, and your purpose. It's not what you do, capital D-O. That's the task, the job, or the emotion. Principally, we want to discover who you be as a foundation, and then we can create vision from there. You know, we can worry about goals and rules and tasks and motivation and all that, but first stop. And so it was really cool for you to really see that this idea that you were a man who was created to, look, we can just throw you in the fire and you're going to be okay. Like, you really kind of actually thrive in chaos. And when things are kind of crazy, you see it as opportunity. It just comes natural to you. Or we can say it's in your design. That also can destroy you if you don't keep it connected to values. So this idea of being 100% of who you were created to be, I think there's still this component of preparation and work that needs to be done so you can maximize this idea that, well, heck, man, if the building's burning, we can send you in there. You're not afraid. You're not worried about it. You'll figure something out. You can think on your feet. And that's not in everybody's design, you know? So we identified that as actually identity in your life. And it's in your design. You need to keep it to values, keep it connected to the positive values so that you don't get lazy or you don't get sloppy, and that you arrive in a place so that that first you can trust yourself, and then the people you're responsible for, they can trust you, and you can make the most of that part of your design.
Absolutely. So I think about, you know, different areas as I've pursued, you know, excellence, getting better, you know, self-development is there, motivation is there, and where you draw that, you know, a striking contrast in identity and what you do to build the individual, because even whenever you say it, it's not a motivational speech. It's not this. It's like, man, I really like motivation. Mm. You know, I like self-development, but I seek that out throughout the last, you know, 20 years of my life, and it had aspects of getting me to where I am today. But at the same time, it left me empty and really almost reeling in a position of out of control because my identity wasn't anchored. And I wasn't defining and directing who I was, especially as a man that is married with children. That kind of work, motivation, and self-development when it was just me. But what I found for me personally is whenever I gained more responsibility, it stopped working for me. And I don't know if you found that in men's life, that maybe the cutthroat, go get it, you can do it, burning both, you know, wicks of the candle at the same time. But that only works for so long until we're just going, I can't do anymore. And it seems that's when men just quit, or they just, yeah, you know, resign. And it seems that this what you're touching on, I'd like to emphasize that as we seek out to become, you know, better what we're doing, that this is really what you're speaking to and pointing to. And go ahead.
Yeah, it's really important what you just said. Emotion, in mindset, Mayhem Mindset, we separate out emotion and thinking. And we have a tool, feel, filter, think, flow. And I designed this for my life so that I could kind of get over the hump that you're talking about. Emotion is a great fire starter. Emotions give life meaning. Emotions are important. I wouldn't want to live life without emotion. It's what connects us to the people that we love with, that we love, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, all of that. That's all really important. And I think one of the best parts about being human, but it's not sustainable and it needs to be controlled, and our emotions will most certainly betray us. And so we want to understand our emotions, but then this idea of a filter, I said, feel, then filter, that's the core values. That's the identity. That's the purpose. So that when we're feeling, we can immediately filter through the values and then think clearly. Many of our choices and decisions in life have to be based not on emotion, but on values. Our core values are our strongest beliefs. And what happens for a lot of men, you know, when your principal aim is motivation every day, that's sustainable for a time until the workload or the weight that you have to bear is more than just you, you know? And a lot of times the interpersonal relationships begin to fail. Because you can't motivate all the other people, and you can't help all the other people in your life that you're responsible for stay on track if it's just coming from an emotional perspective. I don't care. We talk about it around here, even in workouts, you know, we don't want what we're doing to be based on emotion. We want it to be based on energy, and we separate those words in mindset. Emotion is directly connected to feeling, and energy is directly connected to values. Much of what we have to do as men has to be, regardless of how we feel, outside our ego, and it has to be done based on energy that we create, because that's what we believe in and we come forward. So having a practical idea about what that means in our life and connecting those things gives this really good opportunity or shot at creating a vision. And then, Jeremy, so many times in our culture, when you hear people, they say something about this word vision, what's the next question? The next question is, well, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Well, what are your goals? Well, how are you staying motivated? You know, well, what rules or systems are you using in your life? And those are all good questions, but those aren't the first questions. Those shouldn't be the principal questions. The first question is, who the hell are you and what do you believe? Let's quantify that. And then let's create that as a solid foundation. Let's create this solid foundation to move forward. And next, once the concrete's been laid, now let's throw up the wood, the framework, and then that's, let's develop great systems. Let's get motivated. And now we can use all those tools, I think, in a way that really can carry us and we can be everything we were designed to be.
So, you know, this is interesting. It brings up thoughts of, you know, cultural traditions in a way, you know, individuals in the past had created identity, and then where we are today, if it's a modern 21st century kind of challenge, because these traditions of identity and who we are and what we're doing. Now, I don't know if we have an answer to this, but it's just raising thoughts about why in our culture today are we having such an issue with identity and really moving forward. You know, I'm speaking more towards men, you know, in a powerful way. Or has this been always ongoing? But I seem that as things have changed in culture, that maybe it's been harder for men to find their identity as things have shifted and changed. Relationships with our fathers have changed. And so it might be why mayhem is such an important aspect for identity, is because we don't have these traditions of old that have helped us to create who we are today on our proud, you know, founding ethics and morals and who we want to be. And it just raises some questions in that sense. But I know in this interview, I'm looking behind you got Rich Froning image behind you. Yeah. And y'all's little, I know y'all's podcast space and all that. And so I know you work with the Mayhem team and those guys. Is there any stories or anything that you could share with us? I know people always like to hear stories, anything about Rich Froning, what he does, or some of his common practices that people would just be like, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I do. And I do want to address too real quick what you said about this idea of where we're at culturally. I think, and this idea of identity, I think it's an important question and I don't want to just walk away from it. You said in the past, it was really like our churches or our schools or our family units really did help develop us in a way where that stuff was passed to each individual, you know? And I think in the past, there was more of that. And as our as we're hit with and bombarded with more information in the culture we live in, you know, we see so much now. Whatever goes in through our eyes has to be processed. There's no way around it. And as there's been more divorce and the breakdown of the family and a lot of those kinds of things, I think some of those institutions have failed us. And so we do see people really struggling with this idea of what identity is. And if you don't know who you are as an individual, then you won't know how you fit in your family. You won't know how you fit in your community. You won't know how you fit on your team. You won't know how you fit in society. And so every one of us needs to have some sort of way to quantify that so that we have that answer. So we have, well, I know right where I belong as a man in this family. I know what my role, what my responsibility is, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing in my community. So I think that's important. And Mayhem Mindset, to some degree, is filling that gap in some ways for the people we get connected to. So stories about Rich Froning, gosh, dang it, man. I have some stories for sure. I think the thing that I admire most about Rich, and Rich is certainly not perfect, and he'll be the first guy to raise his hands and tell you that he's not perfect, and that, you know, Rich and I think you too, we have a core value that overlaps. It's our faith. When, you know, my role in Rich's life really was not ever about CrossFit. Rich was, you know, a multiple time world champion, and I've not said one thing to him or taught him one thing about how to be a great athlete or CrossFit. I've learned so much from him in that regard. My role was just, it really was this process. Hey, let's take a look at your future and let's map out the rest of your future so that when you're, as you move through whatever the next 3 or 4 years, let's lay a roadmap out and create a vision for your life moving forward. So that's really been what my, if it's not in language, it's not a tool, right? So if you're not paying attention to that, you're going to arrive, and I've worked with numerous professional athletes who hit the end of their career, and they thought what they were doing as far as their career was who they were. They had really defined themselves with their sport, and all of a sudden it's over, and then they didn't know where to go next, you know? And so I think that the thing that I admire most about Rich is that he's authentic. He's not going to say he's perfect. He has a ton of fun at what he does. He loves to get in there and work out. He makes mistakes. He does all of that as a human being, but he's really aiming at these values. It's important. If you were to talk to him about his core values, he would tell you it's faith, it's family, it's fitness, and it's service. He'd be real clear about that. And those are the four areas of intent in his life. And so I think he's just a human being who's getting up every day and in an intentional way, aiming at those things, trying to be better at that every day, and then trying to move the needle in one way or the other. And now he's super focused on competing still. He still wants to win the CrossFit Games with his team, but he's also got a ton of energy focused on his family and his wife, and a ton of energy focused on serving the community, and got a new nonprofit that's come online now to where we can try to make more of a difference in the community. So those are the things I admire most about him.
So what does it look like? How often do y'all check in, and like, what is the mindset, like management or leadership look like?
Yeah, it's so, you know, I get a chance to train with them every day that I want to. So, quarantine was crazy because, you know, we still had our podcast, and so we were still creating content, and then we got the permission here within the state, as long as we were under 10, we could be in the building and kind of a media exemption. So we were still doing podcasts, and then we were doing those workouts in front of the camera on Zoom and YouTube. And it was a really unique time because instead of really focusing on competing, because the CrossFit Games were basically canceled for teams at that point, where we were really thinking a lot about fitness as far as health goes, which was really cool. And then reaching out to other people and creating some platforms and things we're actually going to use moving forward. So it was really kind of an interesting time for us at Mayhem, because we were able to really kind of dial in some of the things we wanted to do for the future. And that idea of compete wasn't really principally on Rich's mind. So I get to hang with them every day. I get to train with them just as much as I want to. I got the Whoop on me to keep me in my lane right here, you know, so that.
When did you get the Whoop, man?
I've been using the Whoop for several years. I haven't had it on, and I put it back on because I started to kind of dial it up a little bit. I need to be paying attention to, you know, I need to be paying attention if I need to slow down today a little bit. But, you know, honestly, the mindset piece for Rich is really, it's really about aiming at values. That's the way that that works. That's genuine. It's authentic. That's the, there's emotion, and we deal with the emotion and we make sure, you know, in CrossFit, emotion really will do you, emotion at the beginning of the competition will really damage you and hurt you more than it will help you. It's okay to beat your chest at the end, you know, and let a little of that go. But in the beginning, well, what's happening when our emotions are dialed up too much? What's happening to you psychologically and what's happening to you physiologically? You know, your heart rate's going through the roof. You can't breathe. You're losing fine motor skills. So, you know, those are the things that really, you know, he's thinking about competing, not based on emotion, but competing based for his on values for his family and all those things, his team, those things that are meaningful to him, and keeping his emotions under control. And I think every one of us is, we're not perfect here at that at all, but we're genuinely trying to work at that every day and aim at that truth every day.
Absolutely. So you brought up interesting, you know, right now in this time that we're in, you work with individuals. What are you seeing in this transition? What challenges have you seen people face? How have they been taking on those? And how, what have you seen as some aspects that have helped people to maybe calm down or get focused and be in a time of a pandemic, maybe isolation, to continue to perform?
Yeah, you know, we put 47 people in the Mayhem Mindset course last month, which was, you know, which was a huge month. And it was super interesting that, you know, obviously in times like this, when people are struggling a little bit, or here's the big thing. Many of us base all of our choices and decisions on momentum. It's just the way we've been doing it. So we got some goals, we got some systems, we got some ways that we stay motivated, and then we use momentum. It's just how it's always been done. And as long as that's not interrupted, we do just fine. You know, we're a pretty decent critical thinker. We keep things in control. But wait a second, what happens when the momentum is interrupted and your day is not like it's been for the last 10 years or 12 years or whatever that happens to be? All of a sudden, people are kind of waking up to, oh, wow, this is the way I've always done it. Now, what do? I don't get to do it anymore. That's one of the things we're trying to create in Mayhem Mindset. Literally, it's let me take everything away from you. Let me strip everything, the way you talk, the way you say and talk about how you believe and what you do. Let me take that away from you and then play this game with me where everything that you use to define yourself is taken away and let's gain new perspective. Well, holy smokes, Jeremy, that was happening in the culture around us. I didn't even have to even try to create it in a game, in a process. Mm-hmm. It was happening to people. And so for sure, you've got people kind of waking up, not necessarily in a scared way or a panicked way, but wow, what a cool opportunity to stop and slow down here and reorganize a little bit. And so I heard mostly really positive things where people were stopping and taking stock in family and in the things that they really believed in. And even in business practices, the people that I'm dealing with, that are business people were like, wow, you know, I stopped and reorganized and analyzed business and made some good changes in my business. So anytime there's chaos like that, there's opportunity in our lives personally and business-wise around us. And so people who are in a position to where they're in control of their emotions enough, who can get their head up a little bit and go, okay, what do we got to do here to move forward? How do we get stronger? How do we get better? And mindset, that's what's really about. It doesn't replace a counselor. It's not for people who need to be motivated at all. It's not about that. That's not at all what we're doing. We're really about helping somebody look at the details of their life. It's a master's course in in you as an individual. And we want to find your strengths in detail, and we want to look at your weakness in detail. And so, shoot, man, the pandemic was, you know, that quarantine piece was a time where a lot of people, they could slow down, right? The momentum had changed and they could slow down and they could take some time to think about it.
So I know that in the course you've shared about an individual, you know, that has really broken down his decision-making down to like a point system where he's able to grade how he makes his decisions off of his core values and his purpose and really shape who and how he makes decisions. So it seems almost like it mitigates really all the options that are flying at us 100 miles an hour, where we can select for that. That individual took it to that level. Right. Tell us, like, I mean, it's, you kind of alluded to this and talked about it, but there's so much coming, like the media, Facebook, Instagram, you know, news, and you don't know how to make decisions. It seems like you're just overwhelmed. How would you say that this helps you to narrow down decision-making and be more effective like that?
Yeah, if it's not in language, it's not a tool. And I say that over and over again, and it's that way in every part of our life. If you haven't done the job to create and formulate language and to be able to speak whatever it is that you're thinking, you're feeling in your heart, or you're thinking in your head, then it's actually not a tool. It's not a mature idea. We have to be able to practically put those things and prepare to put those things into action in our life. And so it's no different with this idea of, well, if I asked you, you know, define yourself, what are your core values? How many can you name? And we do that through mindset. Most people can name a couple. It's just something most people haven't thought about. And so, once again, in tough times, in deeper, darker times in our life, or even in opportunity, when you've got this cool opportunity in front of you, if you haven't quantified, if you haven't worked on that language, you don't really know what you believe in. For me, fight, work, hope, faith, team, family, excellence, purpose, responsibility, love, and freedom. All those things are clear defined in my life. I work with all of that. It's in language. It's a filter. I use it as the lens for everything that I'm going to do. And I'm so practiced at it that it happens like this, that every choice and decision I have goes through that filter. The game for me is never anymore in my life, what should I do? I'm pretty clear about what I should do because I'm pretty clear about what I believe and who I be in our game. Many people in the culture we live in, they're not sure what to do, and then they're struggling to keep their emotions under control. So they get caught in what I call the matrix. It's a loop. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I believe. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I feel. And they just loop that way. And anybody that's listening to this podcast could name two or three people like that in their life, where you're trying to calm them down. Jesus, just please, just calm the heck down. Like, it's going to be okay. And literally you hear people say to them, could you just think for a second? Could you think? Could you get out of the side of your brain, you know, the limbic part of your brain that deals with emotions, over into the neocortex where we're thinking? Well, if there's no language, you're not getting over there, dude. It ain't happening. You haven't practiced at it. In the opportunity, the tough time, it's just not really yours. And that's what happened in my life. My wife left me 20 years ago. And in that dark space, I didn't own who I was as a person. It was my dad's, or it was the pastor of the church I went to. It wasn't mine. And I didn't know what to do next, man. I really didn't know what to do next. And so, you know, holy smokes, that's the idea, right? If you don't have that in language and you haven't sat down and wrote it out, and it's not something that you focused on, if you're a faith dude, cool. What does that really mean to you? Is it authentic, or is it just something you're saying? If you're a family man, okay, cool. Is that something that's authentic, or is that something you're just saying? And a lot of times in the culture we live in, the motivational thing, you know, people are just throwing out those slogans, and it's kick the fire or kick the tires and light the fires, but it doesn't really have any substance to it. So we got to do the work to be prepared. You got to do some work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that has been, you know, in my decision-making, because really with our business, you know, we've recreated and, you know, pivoted, transitioned, restructured and really has helped me in the stance of leading and not looking to others to make decisions. Now, do I process what, you know, is available for me for my fitness facility and how to service people and do that? But it's really been a fresh breath of air being able to move into this. And what Mayhem Mindset allows me to do is to lead authentically and be able to chart a course for where I want to take my business and allow a process for my staff, my coaches, to follow where it is that I'm going. I would find myself when I wasn't certain in the past, you just questioning and looking to people that were within my coaching staff to help me to make a decision that wasn't their decision to be making. And I didn't have the certainty inside of myself to understand why and who I am to go where I want to go to produce the result that I want to produce. And another thing that has so cleared up for me is I'm, for the first time in my life, okay with failure. If I know where I'm going, I know what I want to do, I know what the objective is, and if it doesn't work, if the marketplace doesn't like the value that I'm putting out as a proposition for them to transaction dollars for, I, as a human being, am okay with failing. And it has radically shifted my position in the market to be confident and strong about how we're going to go about doing what we do. And I believe that it will be successful just from the fact that, you know, we are going to offer a value in the marketplace. But at the end of the day, I'm not losing sleep at night. I'm not concerned. There's so much in the air right now of how things will pan out and shift for the fitness market and all that. But I fully believe that I'm in a position to lead effectively because of who I am and what I believe and what my values are. And I'm going to attract, and maybe some of the staff members will move on to go do something else. And again, I'm 100% good with that because I know the path where we want to go and chart that course. And that's been a huge, position for me to be what I feel like is playing a winning game. And been very excited about that. So it's been huge. You know, it's very awesome, you know, over the past 9 months, 12 months, you know, as we've built a relationship, you know, since I got to come out to Cookeville, almost coming up on a year and a couple months, as like all of what has it, transpired over this period of time. And one thing that, I've learned is from myself is that I've through this pandemic, there was points of fear. There was point of panic. There was points of not knowing what was going to happen. But one thing that I did was I never stopped. I talk about camping out. When I was going through fear of what's going to happen to society, is this all going to fall apart? I didn't camp out there and decide that's where I was going to stay for the rest of the next 3 months. I just kept moving forward and coming back to who I am and who I'm being. And it eventually got me to the point where, hey, this is what I want to do and provide for the world. And if this is a value to them, they'll come along with me. And that's from my success story, if you will, from Mayhem Mindset, the one thing that I got from the program was that this is an inward process. And if we're always looking out to decide on the end, then we are not going to succeed. And the internal that you hear that phrase that the internal dictate the external and all this, but what, how, and the Mayhem process, the game had given me the structures to organize this internally to be and to show up. And that's a big thing too, is the way I show up is given a defined, because someone talks about how do you show up? And it's it's very elusive. But with this structure, I can show up with my core values intact. So I'm very present and I'm not opaque in indecisiveness. I think that's another characteristic of leadership.
It's so powerful. Your design or your purpose, your identity, that does not change. It's in you from the day you were born. It has to be cultivated. It has to be grown and worked at. But if we can quantify that, and then you can choose your values, you can decide who you are as a human being, and that becomes this foundation. Those things don't change based on what you do. If I take everything from you, you still have that. If all the worst things on the planet go wrong, you still have that. Positive values, they anchor you through adversity and they ground you when you're successful. So this idea of you being able to show up and compete or provide a service for the community, the do, the task, it allows you to take purposeful risks. You can't be successful. You can't win. You can't win in the game of life, and you certainly can't win in CrossFit or any other sport or any other business if you're not willing to take purposeful risks to face adversity. That's inherent in being successful. That is to be human. So I think so many people are so conscious of failure that they never take the risk, the purposeful risk. I'm not just saying, screw it, let's just do this. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying risks that have been calculated based on goals, based on systems, based on motivation, and built on this idea of purpose. If you were to ask Rich, he would tell you that falling off the rope, when he fell off that rope in that first CrossFit competition, I think maybe you were even there, and that losing, you know, he got second place, but to him, I've heard him tell the story a million times, that was losing. But through that process of growing up there, what he realized was that CrossFit didn't define him. And that wasn't who he was. And these other things, family, faith, service, being fit, enjoying getting up every day and grinding and all of that, that was really in his identity. And it freed him to go a million miles at being the best competitor he could ever be. He was never after that afraid of failure or afraid of losing. And if you're conscious of that kind of failure, and I'm talking about during the competition or in that space where you're trying to perform, and you're not going to be 100% of who you were created to be. You cannot. Failure is what's necessary to be successful. We don't want the failure to destroy us, so we don't want to make certain mistakes that derail our entire life. But if you're talking about from a physical or an athletic perspective or a business perspective, holy smokes, how are you supposed to learn? How you get better if you don't put yourself in positions like that? And so we've got to get ourselves in a position or a mindset like what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So I'm going to switch it on us just a little bit. So Jim, I'm going to ask you some questions because I think people are going to want to know this.
Okay.
A, how old are you? How are you so fit? Because you're a jacked dude. And how do you maintain that?
Man, I'm 51 years old. I started lifting weights back in the day, brother. You know what I mean? I was 14 years old when I first fell in love with lifting weights. I can remember, you remember the old Nautilus machines? That's probably way before your time.
No, like, I remember.
I remember going to the health club in town and just falling in. I wasn't very big. I was always really fast. And so I excelled in sports because I was quick and I was fast, but I didn't have the muscle to do what I wanted to do. And I played football all the way through college. And so I fell in love with the weight room, just fell in love with it. So there wasn't a day in the past 30 years that I wasn't lifting some weight somewhere. Even in the toughest times in my life, going through divorce and some of that stuff, you'd find me at Gold's Gym lifting some weight somewhere. So I got all that old, like I've got some good genetics. I was blessed with that, but I've got all that old muscle that I've been working on for 30 years. And so CrossFit was really cool for me because it was kind of a new opportunity to me to learn some new skills. You know what I mean? Because I hadn't CrossFit before I moved to Cookeville, Tennessee. I was working as a player development coach at a university. So always in the weight room, always around guys working out. Probably no joke, on my faith, you know, on my children's lives, there was 20 years where I didn't eat bad food, man. You know, I didn't eat sugar. I didn't drink alcohol. And it wasn't for any religious reasons or faith reasons at all. I just want to be a great athlete. I just want to do the best I can be. So I have a lifestyle of doing that my whole life. I got remarried 8 years ago and kind of fell off the wagon a little bit. I just got happy, brother. You know, yeah. I mean, I like my wife. I like the patio. I discovered there were better whiskeys than other whiskeys. And so started to indulge and enjoy a little bit, but, you know, I've just made it a way of life.
That's awesome. Yeah. That makes sense. Lifestyle and consistency. That is the formula for sure. Well, awesome. Well, what if people want to do the course and get signed up, what is the process to getting on? Cause, and you also do, private coaching. Like what does that look like for people?
We got a couple of levels. We have a just kind of do it on your own. That's the most affordable. And so I send you a workbook, and there's video and audio and the whole nine yards. So you can actually kind of work through the whole process on your own. That takes a special person because you got to be somebody who's self-motivated. So you got to be somebody who is interested in really working on themselves. We do another level where every Monday I do office hours. I have a morning hour and then a couple of hours in the evening time where you can get on a Zoom call with me in a community of people. And that's a really cool way to do it. So you can kind of check in and hold yourself accountable each week. And then for sure, if somebody just goes to mayhemmindset.com and emails me, we do group stuff. I'm getting done with a bunch of guys at a bank right now, which is kind of cool. So we do some group stuff. And then for somebody who really wants to get after it, I do work with people individually. So mayhemmindset.com is the spot for all that.
That's awesome, man. Well, right on, Jim. Well, we appreciate your time coming on and chatting with us about this. And yeah, man, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate you, brother.
Awesome. We'll